Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly oh, permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour here on the show, the Bucks were looking at a 2-2 series tie last night at a Game 5 in Boston, and somehow Giannis Antetokounmpo took 10 shots. What happened, Joe Prunty? What happened, coaching staff in Milwaukee? Why'd you leave Giannis hanging like that, like he was waiting for a table at a Mexican cantina in Milwaukee? We'll get to that coming up here on the show in about 15 minutes. Also, your best audio of the day, Josh Rosen, with some very interesting comments that I'm sure some will take offense to, some will dislike, about why he should be the first quarterback taken in the upcoming draft. That comes your way in about 35 minutes from now. And I also want to tackle this Condoleezza Rice story as the Rice Commission has handed down their findings for the corruption within college basketball. But first, I am nothing if not transparent. And I can admit when I've made a mistake. Usually you want to start off a show well. You want to come out of the blocks, have a strong monologue, a big take, set up the show, bring the audience in. Some people script their first 15 plays. I just feel confident in my ability, and I just go for broke. And sometimes that can lead to a mistake or two, including today, where my first words on the air were wrong.
Happy Thursday to you, North America.
Let's face it. I threw a pick six on the first play.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
I mean, I just dropped back to pass. I saw the route, and I just underthrew it, chunked it, and it went back the other way. So we were down 7-0 real quickly. And then I doubled down before we had London Fletcher on the show talking about the NFL draft going, The NFL draft comes up tonight. Tomorrow night. Tonight. Yesterday. I don't know. It's one of those. It's got to be one of those.
David, excuse me, my bad.
So basically, we're down 14-0. Jeremy tweets, DA, I want it to be Thursday too, but it's Wednesday, buddy. Hashtag, let it be Friday soon. Tomorrow night. Tonight. Tomorrow night. Tonight. Yes. Yesterday. Excuse me.
David, excuse me, my bad.
Excuse me, it's Wednesday.
David, excuse me, my bad.
Happy Excuse my bad, it's Thursday. Oh, no, wait, it's Wednesday.
Happy Thursday to you, North America.
My bad.
That's my bad. Senor Pantleg tweets, the draft is tomorrow night. No, tonight. Wait, my bad. I was right the first time. Tomorrow night. My bad. Excuse me. Tomorrow night. Tonight. Tonight. Yesterday. Yeah. Excuse me.
David, my bad.
Which is hysterical because within the first segment of the show, I did admit that I am not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect at radio, clearly. Okay, so we were down 14-0, but we then just had Roger Staubach, freaking Roger Staubach on the show, and the clarity of the phone was fantastic, and it's freaking Roger Staubach, so we got a touchdown back, so it's 14-7. I will make up the deficit, I promise.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so, Robbie.
Robbie.
Watch.
Wow.
Watch and learn, Robs. Big Robs. Rob's house.
Who's Robbie.
House? Whose house? Rob's house. So, Condoleezza Rice, yes, that Condoleezza Rice, as though there's another Condoleezza Rice, commissioned a report for college basketball looking to clean up the game. The NCAA commissioned it, of course, because things are at an all-time low in terms of confidence we have in a clean sport. The Commission on College Basketball, led by Rice, recommended an end to the one-and-done rule, potential lifetime bans for rule breakers, and changes to the relationship between the NCAA and apparel companies. Let's start from the back and work up. Changes to the relationship between college basketball and sneaker companies? Yeah, you think? Oh, you don't think it's healthy for multi-billion dollar sneaker corporations to be funneling money to families by virtue of relationships in high school and AAU to get them to specific colleges who wear specific sneakers with the hopes of them signing them in the NBA to those same sneaker deals? You don't find that to be broken? Yeah, it's broken. How you clean that up, you've got to have major policing at that level. The fact is, at this point in time, nobody in the NCAA has wanted to police it because it takes too much effort and too much resources. And let's face it, when money is coming into schools, even if it is dirty money, somehow the NCAA goes, we didn't see anything. Oh, Louisville's getting $100,000 from Adidas to funnel to the family of a recruit to make sure he attends an Adidas school. Oh, wait, Kansas is the model Adidas school, and Adidas is funneling all types of money to get certain recruits to that school. Oh, wait, DeAndre Ayton is worth $100,000. That's why Arizona is going to funnel that much money via a sneaker company to a recruit family. You don't find that completely on the up and up? I'm shocked. Yes, that needs to be cleaned up. Number two. Lifetime ban for rules breakers. Look, it's a great idea. It's never going to happen. The NCAA is too scared of punishment like that, penalty like that. We can't even get show cause penalties to be lifetime bans. We can't even get the Art Briles of the world to have lifetime bans. We can't even get a coach like Dave Bliss, who tried to cover up and smear a kid who was murdered on his basketball team, to have a lifetime ban. And you think suddenly because of a few recruiting violations we're going to be able to do that? No way. I'd love to see it. Never going to happen. Number three, one and done. The biggest change suggested by the commission is ending one and done. Even though this is an NBA rule, the commission wants 18-year-olds to be eligible for the NBA draft, allowing a path to the pros directly out of high school. The NBA and NBA's Players Association have had conversations eliminating the one-and-done rule, centered on the 2020 draft as the earliest possible date for change. Of course, this draft, the 2018 draft, comes up in just a couple of months in June, and then they're not even talking about it for 2019. If a change is not made to the one-and-done, Condoleezza Rice said, the commission will look into options such as making freshmen ineligible so that you can't even be eligible as a first-year player, or locking a scholarship for 3 or 4 years if the recipient leaves a program after 1 year. So, the commission recommends college players should also be able to return to school if they go undrafted, as long as they don't sign a professional contract, which I think makes a lot of sense. If you go undrafted, you should be able to return to school. Let's face it. As long as you don't sign with anybody, you should be able to return to school. That seems like a no-brainer. As far as making a scholarship locked for 3 or 4 years, if a kid leaves the program after 1 year, that's kind of a dubious penalty, because now you're punishing the school for a kid's decision to leave. That seems to be backward. I think when it comes down to it, it has always been that the NBA should open up its draft to high school players. If this NBA wants to take the risk of drafting a high school kid, they should be allowed to do it. But if that kid decides to go to college, to me, it should just be a 2-year commitment. That feels the most fair, that it's 0, you can go to the NBA draft, or 2. After 2, you'd be allowed to leave. After 3, you'd be allowed to leave. Obviously, after 4, you're graduating, allowed to leave. That, to me, makes the most sense. College baseball mandates you there for 3 years. But I don't think it's that big a deal to ask players for a certain commitment. The same way you shouldn't lock players out of being able to get a job. You see, the NBA instituted a one-and-done rule so that they had an extra year to scout players. It just saved them from themselves. They were drafting the Kwame Browns and Jonathan Benders, and they realized this is really hard. Yeah, there's a few Kobe's and LeBron's and Kevin Garnett's, but there's also a bunch of guys that we have no idea about. There's a Corleone Young, and we don't know. Maybe we should draft him. Maybe we shouldn't draft him. He's tantalizing. Uh-oh, he stinks. So they said, why don't we just have them go to college for 1 year so that we get a better chance to scout him and we can screw up less? Well, that's on the NBA. I mean, just screw up less, do better scouting, or don't take the chances on these kids. That's the boom or bust that happens with drafting kids out of high school. But I also think it's fair to ask kids, okay, if you don't want to go directly to the NBA, or forget that, if you don't think you can go directly to the NBA, then a scholarship is a really good offer. It's free schooling, it's free housing, it's everything you need on campus for the most part. Luckily, things are getting better also with paying for meals and some outside money stipend stuff. We're making it better incrementally for athletes, and we should, because there's so much money involved. And now you ask an athlete, okay, but we do need a commitment for you for 2 seasons. You can jump directly from high school if you have the opportunity. If you don't, we would like you on campus for 2 seasons. I think that is a fair compromise. And the problem here is the people that bang the gavel and say athletes should have overall freedom. I understand, because this is truly a marketplace. But the schools also, as corrupt as the whole situation is, should be allowed to give out 2-year scholarships. If they recruit a kid, it's a 2-year scholarship. So they can't yank it away after a year either. That kid gets a guaranteed 2 years at a school. That, to me, makes the most sense from both sides. Thankfully, we're doing away with one and done, because it just seems silly at this point in time. But when it's going to happen, anybody's guess. And we'll see if the NCAA is actually serious about changing a lot of these things, because the NBA can change, but the NCAA has to change as well, and there's less incentive for the NCAA to change. When we come back, why wasn't Giannis used more last night? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
21 minutes past the hour. clips of the DA show in video form, always available online on our YouTube page, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/The DA Show. facebook.com/The DA Show. Go there, like the show page.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
We'll get your timeline popping. Giannis Antetokounmpo last night. He's the best player on the floor. Without Kyrie Irving in this series, Giannis is the best player on this floor by a mile between the Celtics and the Bucks. The Celtics had taken those two games at home to tie the series at 2, game 5 in Boston. This ends up being a 5-point game. The Celtics led by double digits at points, but the Bucks can close this at the end to a 5-point game. And last night, Giannis isn't even the high scorer on his team. He scores a mere 16 points on 5 of 10 shooting. Giannis does play 41 minutes last night. And in a reduced 41 minutes in terms of offense, he's still able to help out with 10 rebounds and 9 assists. The dude was a dime short of a triple-double last night. But the fact is, the Milwaukee Bucks can't do anything in the postseason unless Giannis is the focal point of their offense. And if you are Joe Prunty, if you are the coaching staff of the Bucks, it is inexcusable last night for Giannis not to take 15 to 20 shots. Inexcusable. 10 shots. I don't care if Giannis is dropping assists. You tell him or you tell the team, we've got to focus plays for you. You've got to get the shot. It's got to be in your hands. 10 shots is not happening. 10 shots is not working. That's not going to get the Bucks a road win in Boston. It's not. You're not going to ask Chris Middleton. You're not going to ask Eric Bledsoe. You're not going to ask anybody else, Jabari Parker coming off the bench, to be the leader on the offense of a team that's going to win a game 5 in Boston to shift the series in your favor. I mean, they fired Jason Kidd midway through the season. These are the types of things you fire a coach for. You've got the best player on the floor by a mile. There's no easily guardable option for the Celtics defensively. You can put Al Horford on him, but Horford's going to get run around athletically. Horford's just not that size. He's just not that speed. There's no one you can put up. You can try Jason Tatum, but Tatum, he's a rookie. Giannis should be able to eat him up. This is the difference between the Celtics coaching staff and the Bucks coaching staff. Brad Stevens would have found a way to make sure the best player on the floor had more than 10 shots in a single-digit game. The Bucks did not. Shame on the Bucks. You lost a golden opportunity, and now you'll probably lose the series because now you've got to not only stay alive at home, but now win a Game 7 on the road in Boston, which has always been a house of horrors in the playoffs for opponents. You know, how about this week? Giannis goes to a Mexican cantina in Milwaukee, can't get a seat. Now, can't get a shot. Hey, let's focus some stuff around him, Milwaukee. Let's make sure the guy's taken care of. Which, by the way, the story about him not getting a seat in a Mexican place in Milwaukee is just the best story because it shows you what a small-town community Milwaukee can be for a team. That's so not a story in New York or Chicago or L.A. So not a story. But in Milwaukee, it became such a story that the restaurant had to apologize and check their security footage.
How can this be?
They checked their security footage and came out and said, we did have evidence of our hostess or a manager approaching Giannis, but telling him it is going to be a long wait. Because there was a fury that they didn't even approach him. They went back to check security tape. Meantime, they're offering free tacos to people because of this wild affront to the Greek freak. I love when that happens in small communities. I say small community knowing that Milwaukee's a big city, but comparatively speaking to other larger markets across the country, it's awesome when stuff like that happens and it becomes a big, big deal. Let the man eat his tacos, get him a table, and let the man shoot the basketball into Game 5 on the road, please. Your toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That is brought to you by Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Here's a quick way you could save money. Get it all at geico.com. Sean's dialed us up in Topeka, Kansas, listening to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, DA, great show. First off, I just want to say that to think that Roger Staubach could have been the heir to Lenny Dawson in Kansas City just makes my head spin. What a great story.
Crazy.
Crazy. But also, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. Also, about the draft, if John Dorsey takes, he has to take a quarterback at number one. If you take a quarterback at one and it's a bust, then, you know, that happens. But if he waits till the four spot, he's essentially letting the Giants and the Jets choose his quarterback for him. And if that happens and the four is a bust and the two or the three is a winner, that's a stain on his resume that will never be washed off. He's going to take a quarterback at number one.
Totally agree. And for all those reasons that you mentioned, I totally agree. Look, the quarterback has become a cultural icon. Quarterback has always held a certain space in the sports landscape because, you know, football is seen as kind of a military endeavor in a lot of ways. He is the guy on the field leading the brigade down the field offensively. There's nothing else like it. A starting pitcher, an ace, is only on the mound every 5 days. In basketball, Michael Jordan plays with four other guys. There's something singular about a football quarterback, and you have to get that right by the X's and O's demands of today's NFL. I mean, Roger Staubach never used to throw for 3,000, 4,000, certainly 5,000 yards. But now not only do you need a leader like Staubach, but you also need a guy that throws for 4,000 yards. So much rides on the quarterback position that exactly as you mentioned, if you take Saquon Barkley or a non-quarterback at one, you allow the other team to dictate who that quarterback's going to be at number four. And even if you feel comfortable that those three quarterbacks at the top of the draft, whoever you get, can all be good quarterbacks, you know you grade them all out differently. So one guy's 95, one guy's 93, one guy's an 89. Why wait for the guy that might be number 89 on the potential that the guy that was graded out at number 95 and number 93 become Hall of Famers or Pro Bowlers? Chris is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Chris.
How you doing, DA? I'm a huge fan. Listen to you every morning.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to talk about the college basketball and going straight to the NBA and the one-and-dones and everything.
Yeah.
But before that, I think the NFL should develop a developmental league, too, kind of like what the NBA has. And I think that if players want to go straight out of high school to the pros, that the NBA or NFL should make them play in their developmental league for the same amount of time that they would have to play in college. If they still want to go to college, that's fine. But at least if they want to go straight out of high school, then they can play in the D League or the whatever developmental league and still get paid for it. So they kind of have that middle ground. They're getting paid, but they don't have to go to college if they don't want to.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I think that we're coming closer to a developmental NFL football league. Because we now have a bunch of spring leagues popping up, people have seemed to have the same idea. We had the spring league that you just saw Johnny Manziel play in. We have a spring league, a developmental league that was trying to get going in California. Of course, we now have the AAFA, I believe, the American Alliance of Football. We also now have the new XFL in 2 years. Now, the AAFA, I think that's what it's called, said it does not want to be the developmental league. It says it wants to be for guys that are not looking to get to the NFL. But obviously, if it works, it would become that. I think that we're building towards something like that with all of these enterprises. I think it's an interesting concept to say you've got to play in the developmental league for as long as you would be in college. Because how would you ever really gauge that? I mean, a kid that is going to be one and done, like let's say Zion Williamson, who's going to become a member of Duke. Would you tell him he's got to play 4 years in the G League because it's a four-year education? Or he would normally be one and done anyway, so he's got to be one and done in the G League? And how would you know a guy that might sprout up or develop in one season who you thought was going to be there for 4 years but suddenly has a great freshman year or a great sophomore year? So I don't know how you would mandate that, but we're moving toward that, and here's why. The bigger concept, the bigger dynamic is we're moving towards that because people are seeing through the charade that is college athletics. For years, it was seen as, well, college is a great option. And it is a great option. Don't get me wrong. A free education is a great option. But we're all seeing the monster money that the NCAA is making and going, well, if the players aren't going to get any of that, they should have an opportunity to earn money when they want to. So that we're not playing the game of student athlete that now almost everybody laughs at. And that's why we're gaining ground towards solutions like that. When we come back, a little sound check, including Josh Rosen with some very interesting comments on why he should be the top quarterback taken. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Big upside.
You know, he interviewed my old partner, too, Brian Jones, off of the show and didn't talk to me. You know,
yeah, I got down the Demon of Mandalorian, and I was like, I gotta rethink this.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Amendolara. And just call me DA. Welcome back, CBS Sports Radio. Happy you're with us on a humpity hump day.
Whole snapper and third string quarterback.
Inching closer to the NFL draft tomorrow night, round one, prime time. I will do my annual, back in my day, about the NFL draft. It wasn't that long ago where if you wanted to watch the NFL draft, you had to park your keister inside a living room and watch on TV on a sunny Saturday. There was none of this, oh, I get to throw up my feet in prime time and watch it after work or watch it after school one night. I get to watch it in the middle of the night like it's a real show and it's only the first round, so I only got to commit a couple of hours and watch the first round of the draft. This is great. And then I wait until Saturday to do other cool stuff because it's early spring, weather's nice, get to be outside, go do cool stuff. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It was not that long ago where if you wanted to watch the draft, it was 15 minutes in between picks, and it happened on a Saturday afternoon, and it took 7 hours. And so you'd wake up, and here on the East Coast, it began at noon, get a little breakfast in, maybe an early lunch. You got to get whatever you can get done before noon. And then at noon, you are locked into the TV. And in the first hour, you're only going to see 4 picks. At most, you're going to get 4 picks in there.
What?
Yes. 15 minutes in between picks. And we liked it. 3.5 hours later, you're midway through the first round. Vikings are on the clock. My God. We're on pick number 14 and it's 3:30.
How about that?
Oh, man. This is tough. You're looking outside. Birds are chirping. Grass is green. Kids are playing outside. Like, nope. I'm in it. Your mom comes in. Are you still watching the NFL draft? Yep. Why don't you go outside and play with the other kids? Nope. I got to see what the Bengals do at 21. This is big, Ma. And we liked it. you're a team picking in the late 20s. You've got to wait until like 6 o'clock in the evening just for that pick to come around. Draft's been going on for 6 hours. All right. We're almost here. I think we can get that offensive lineman we need. I'll slide him into the offensive line. Let's see. Yeah, we like it. Now it's great. 10 minutes in between picks. It's in prime time. First round is just one round standing alone. This is amazing. I don't have to totally screw a Saturday in the spring. This is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And then you wouldn't see your buddies at school or at work until Monday. And so whatever happened on Saturday, that first round draft pick, you had to wait 2 full days to talk to anybody about it because there were no cell phones to be texting immediately. You either called up your friend or your buddy at work or whatever. You called him or her up on Saturday after the pick. Or you went out, celebrated on Sunday somehow, or cried together because it's a bust. There was no instantaneous Twitter. Let's see what everybody's talking about. Oh, no. You waited for the next day to see a reaction in the newspaper. And we like it. Now, you'll get news of the pick before the pick even happens tomorrow night. Before the pick happens, you'll know if you're on Twitter. Bing, bing, bing. Wouldn't you know it? Second screen. You watch a little NBA playoffs while it's going on. While the draft is going on, you have a few beers. It's a Thursday night. You wake up. The next day, you're at work. You're at school. You're talking about it with your friends. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's go throwback. 9-hour marathon Saturdays. 15 minutes in between picks. And then you wait to talk about it. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Josh Rosen. Some people don't like him because of his attitude, his brashness, his confidence. With Tiki and Tierney on why he should be the first quarterback.
I'm going to put absolutely every ounce and second of my time into ensuring that I succeed in the NFL. And there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that I'm going to be the last quarterback in this draft class standing when all is said and done, years down the road. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
I didn't need to hear him say that. But I like him saying that. I like that attitude. I like these guys betting on themselves and putting a lot of pressure on themselves. You know, when you say that, you now have to back it up. And I like that. But I like Josh Rosen before that because I like Josh Rosen's mechanics. I like his ceiling. I like his leadership abilities. I think there's a lot of Aaron Rodgers in him. And I don't mind that at all. As long as the kid can back it up athletically, and I think he can back it up athletically. So I like Rosen more than any of these other quarterbacks. I think the Browns will take Darnold one, and I really truly believe that the Giants are taking a quarterback, despite what everybody is saying about Saquon Barkley at two. I think the Giants take a quarterback at number two or trade out of that pick so that somebody else can take a quarterback at number two. Pat Shurmur, speaking of the Giants, talking about his star wide receiver, Odell.
He's here, and he's been here. You know, he's going through his, you know, his rehab to get fully cleared, so he was able to be involved in the walkthrough.
Are you planning for him to be a Giant in the fall?
Absolutely. He's an excellent player. He's part of our team, and he's a very valued member of our team. Everybody that's out here, I'm planning on them being here.
The New York Giants, quote unquote, shopped him. But what they were doing was twofold. Number one, they were going to see if anybody was going to give them two number ones. If they wanted to be bowled over by two number ones, okay. If somebody wanted to break the bank for him with two number ones or a crazy boatload of picks, they would have traded him. But unless that was going to happen, they were not just going to take a one number one or a couple of twos. No, they needed to have some type of ransom. Number two, what they do is they send the message to Odell, hey, man, you're not indispensable. We will trade your butt as well. And you let me know how you feel if we get a bunch of draft picks and you're going to a team that's not New York. you want to be in commercials, endorsements, fashion week, and all of that stuff. Well, you want to do that in New York? Great. But we can trade you somewhere else and let us know how that works out for you. Because there ain't no fashion week in Cincinnati. And I think that was enough to kind of scare him straight a little bit and send the message to the rest of the locker room, we'll trade your butt. And so they killed two birds with one stone, and they didn't have to trade him because they don't really want to trade him. And number three, Marcus Smart returns last night for the Celtics as a lot of the grimy, dirty work as the Celtics get the Game 5 win.
The confidence for us right now is high. You know, this is a big game for us. We needed it, especially after, you know, they pounded us at their place two games in a row. And for us to come back and respond the way we did, you know, I'm proud of this team. I'm proud of the guys and exactly what we need.
Marcus Smart played 25 minutes off the bench last night, got 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, the steal, 3 blocks. Also had that great kind of scrum on the floor, then kicked it out to Al Horford for the dunk. I mean, Smart does a lot of the little things that Brad Stevens loves, that any coach loves, but it is a notable addition for the Celtics. And, you know, after losing those last two in Milwaukee, to get Smart back and then get the win at home, I think that he had a major hand in that and maybe stemmed the tide of the series swinging the other way for the Bucks. And so now Game 6 in Milwaukee. And if you're the Bucks, you have to go down swinging with Giannis. 10 shots in an elimination game is not going to work. You've got to mandate Giannis gets 20 shots in Game 6, or else you're doing it wrong. That's your sound check. Robert's in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, listening to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rob.
How are you doing, D.A.?
I'm good, bud. How you doing?
Pretty good. I was just thinking about the draft myself, and I think these quarterbacks are all good. But none of them would bring to the table what somebody like Kaepernick might bring to the table. So, look, if you can set the politics aside a little bit, give Kaepernick a try out this year with Tyrod. Take the number one with Barkley. He's a franchise offensive player. If Chubb's around at number four, take Chubb and worry about the quarterbacks later on.
Well, I still wouldn't avoid taking a quarterback at 1 or 4. Even if I signed Colin Kaepernick, because I still believe you need to develop right now your QB of the future, and you're never going to get a better shot at it than this year when you have number one and number four in a quarterback stocked draft. There's no guarantees we're going to have this many NFL-ready QBs in 2019, 2020, 2021. You've got it to me. Take advantage right now. Lightning has struck for you. You've got number one and number four in a quarterback-heavy draft. So you got to take one. I don't mind the idea, though, of going Bradley Chubb at number four if the Browns have taken a quarterback at number one. I think the fact that Kaepernick doesn't have a job is laughable in the NFL simply because the NFL puts aside all types of ethics all the time to select guys. I mean, Reuben Foster allegedly punched his girlfriend in the eardrum 8 times. And the Niners are like, well, let's just let this thing play out here, huh? Please, will we? Dallas Cowboys. We knew Greg Hardy had been found guilty by a judge of domestic violence. You know, he's a changed man. But Colin Kaepernick kneels during the national anthem, and it's, he can't deal with that. You know, this is just... Now, I realize there's other guys that have knelt during the national anthem, and they have jobs, but Kaepernick has been the front and center guy that's become the enemy of those that oppose that, and he's become kind of the face of that, and he's a quarterback, which is different, and the NFL goes, oh, well, we can't, how could we do that? And that just, to me, is so silly. Well, you make excuses for every other guy. Richard's next up in KC. Listen to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, DA. Huge fan, man. Can you beat me up?
You got it, bud.
So my call is really just about the NBA. I love the NBA, and I wanted to see. I think it could pass the NFL in a few years. But the only way for it to do that is it needs to take the same approach as the English soccer in relegation. You know, if a team's not playing well, sorry, Sacramento. Sorry, Orlando. You guys aren't good enough. Let's bring some second-tier teams up and maybe fight for these spots. And I know there's only a certain amount of teams, you know, but cities like St. Louis, Kansas City, Seattle, maybe 10 teams fight for those three spots every year. And I could really see, you know, it exploding in the NBA.
I love relegation that happens in soccer leagues internationally. I love the idea that people have thrown out that even that should happen in MLS. And I agree. I love that idea. The issue is that was instituted a century ago. Before, what happened was values of franchises and television deals exploded. And so in the NBA, Sacramento doesn't have the franchise value of owners buying in. If they know, if they stink, they then get to play basically in a G League or the USBL or something like that, or the ABA. So it doesn't work in American sports, unfortunately, because all of those guys have paid so much money to play in and to have a franchise in that specific league. But I love relegation. The NFL draft is almost here, and nobody covers it better than NFL Network. Go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starts April the 26th on NFL Network and Fox. That, of course, is tomorrow. When we return, the Heat eliminated, the Spurs eliminated both last night. Does that mean we've seen the last of Dwayne Wade and Kawhi Leonard in those teams' uniforms? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.